The new guy's slacking on the leaves.
Ryan, you came. You got my message. Wait, what do you mean, new guy? Do you not work here anymore?
Nope.
Really? You quit?
Quit, stop showing up, whichever. Had to disappear for a while.
Yeah, no joke. I looked all over for you. Calling into that radio show was a last resort. Surprised you heard it, though. I thought you hated Circle City Supernatural.
Oh, I do, and it was dumb luck that I heard you. I've been laying low in that same crappy motel that I was in when I called the show myself 2 years ago with my story about the lantern. Would you believe they put me in the same room with the same radio?
It was still dialed to the station. So what, you just turned it on one night and there I was asking for you to meet me here and now?
Pretty much.
That's not dumb luck, Ryan. That's something else.
Maybe. So, here we are, at the grave of Rex Benton, where I first saw you.
Glad you remembered. I had to be cryptic on the radio about where we would meet, since everyone was listening.
You were smart to do so. How have you been, Violet? It's been a while. I dig the new hair.
Thanks. I think a beard suits you.
I'm not sure how long I'll keep it. So, you said you had something to tell me? About Carolyn?
Yes, you remember her. The cultist we encountered back in
I remember. Listen, Violet, you've been gone for a while, and I should tell you that, well, I've been helping her. Or trying to, anyway.
You've been what? Why?
That's a long, strange story.
I have all day. And night, too, if need be.
That ritual she and her acolytes were trying to perform in the woods on the winter solstice when we first encountered them way back.
The ritual that we stopped? Yes, I recall.
Well, apparently she tried again months later in an old theater.
The Roman Civic Theater? Where the ley lines intersected?
I don't know. Wait, yeah, you told me about that, didn't you?
But I didn't think they had the audacity to try it there. It's downtown with people everywhere. How were they not noticed?
Oh, they were, and by a cop of all people. The way I hear it, he actually spotted Carolyn here at the cemetery first.
Why was she here?
Visiting the crypt of Thaddeus Boone, she later told me.
The cult leader from back in the day?
Yeah, it was his spirit they were trying to conjure. She came here to make contact with him, hoping he would follow her back to the theater where the ritual would take place.
But it was a cop who followed her back instead. Wait, why was he even here?
You're going to love this. According to the paper, this cop was investigating the grave robberies and was apparently here doing so when he spotted Carolyn acting suspicious.
Of course.
Poor guy. I could have saved him a lot of time and trouble by telling him what you told me, that the grave robberies were the work of what did you call it, a dead eater?
Well, I'm glad you didn't tell him or anyone else about the ghoul. I have to keep my work on the DL.
Well, they actually do now.
How?
They found the ghoul's lair in the mausoleum. Forensic teams were pulling chewed bones out of there for days.
That's concerning. I wonder if they lifted my prints. Oh well, I'll worry on that later. Anyway, Carolyn?
Right. So I'm not sure exactly what went down, but the cop was too late to stop the ritual at the theater. It was done by the time he went inside, and while he was arresting one of Carolyn's lackeys, she escaped.
But she had succeeded in summoning the spirit?
When summoning a spirit, yes. It wasn't the ghost of old Boone, but rather a, well, you know.
Yeah, so she got herself possessed.
That she did.
Oh, Carolyn. Wait. So was it the same cop that she and her acolytes tried to kill at the diner last winter? I was just down the street at Joe's catching up with Piper. She told me all about it. Why did they try to kill him?
Well, I guess he was still investigating. Whatever he saw in that theater must have made quite the impact. Maybe he was too close to uncovering what Carolyn, what the demon, was getting up to, so the cult tried to take him out. And after their failed attempt, they actually fled here.
To the cemetery? What is it with this place?
I know, right? They tried to use the mausoleum for like a last stand kind of thing. It went about as well as you would think. Everyone with Carolyn was killed in the shootout. That was actually how the cops found the ghoul's lair. A stray bullet hit a panel in the wall and it came loose. Anyway, Carolyn alone escaped.
Sounds like she's good at that. So where did your path and hers cross again? Here?
Yep. The next day. While doing my rounds, I found her cowering in Boone's crypt. Still don't know how she got in there from the mausoleum or how the cops didn't find her. She'd almost frozen to death, but she was herself at the moment. The demon's grip had loosened enough for Carolyn to come to the surface. Maybe because she was near death. I don't know. But she asked for my help, and I agreed.
Just like last time out in the woods, you're either a hero or a sucker, Ryan Tolliver.
I'd like to think I fall somewhere in between.
And what happened after that?
I didn't know what else to do with her, so I took Carolyn to the closest church and asked if someone could cast out the evil spirit. And I got the reaction that I should have expected.
They called the police.
No, they called all of the police. Since she had tried to kill one of their own, every cop in town showed up to arrest Carolyn. And they got her, but only after she gave them a hell of a fight. Because of her possession, they thought she was mental, so they locked her up at the hospital pending a psychological review.
And then?
To give you the abridged version, I persuaded a Filipino chaplain to help me break Carolyn out of a psych ward to perform a Christmas Eve exorcism on her.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's been sort of a ridiculous year for me. Anyway, now demon-free, Carolyn was wanting to put right all that she had done while in its control, but she had no memory of those months after her possession. She just had no idea what she had done in all that time.
So did she, like, move in with you after that?
Basically.
I see.
It wasn't like that. She slept on my couch. That is, until a few months ago when she just up and vanished on me.
Why'd she go?
Cops. They found out she was staying with me. Carolyn spotted them staking out my house and left for my benefit, so that they wouldn't catch her with me. As if I even cared about that.
How did they track her down?
That part is my fault. I did an interview with a website, a local one called The Vigilante, one that I knew would listen to me. They specialize in the bizarre. I actually first discovered the site when researching the inventor of the lantern. Anyway, I tried to set the record straight, told him what was really happening with Carolyn.
Seems like an unnecessary risk. Why bother?
I was trying to help the chaplain that had helped us. Reyes was his name.
The exorcist?
Yeah, for the part he played in Carolyn's escape, he was arrested and tried for kidnapping and whatever else. And not only did my interview fail to help the chaplain, who now sits in prison, it backfired on me. I said too much in the interview. I was trying to exonerate Reyes, but just implicated myself, admitting to all the crimes I had committed, among which was currently harboring a known fugitive. I can only assume the cops came across the interview and figured out who I was.
How?
The cop Carolyn tried to kill, Alex Heaney. I had actually met him before, here, of course, when he was investigating the grave robberies. This was after I had stolen the lantern, so I probably seemed very guilty when he talked to me. I know he picked up on it, so I must have stayed in his mind. When he read the interview, he put two and two together. Oh, and I'm pretty sure that he also caught a glimpse of me the night we broke Carolyn out of the hospital. He was pulling in as we were pulling out, past each other in the parking lot. So yeah, he had every reason to come after me.
Jeez, Ryan. Well, now I know you've been so hard to find.
Although, the interview wasn't a total waste. The guy who interviewed me, who runs the site, he had an old book with him. Seemed like he carried it everywhere. Sound familiar? I was curious and asked about it. It took me a while, but I finally pried the story out of him. He and his wife found the book in a secret room of an old house. They seem to think there are more books like it and have been looking for them. Then I remembered you telling me that in Benton's broadcast, the original carrier of your book told him that there were others. So I said that I would send you his way if I ever saw you again. If you're willing, he'd like to compare his manuscript with yours. Here's his address. His name is Brian Polydor. His wife, Caitlin, is a reporter for the Chronicle. She's actually been covering most of the stories we're talking about, so she can be trusted, too.
If you vouch for these people, I'll check them out.
So, do you still carry that old book?
Of course.
It looks different. It's brown.
Oh yeah, that's dried monster blood.
Well, that's appropriate.
Happened last spring, actually, when I found out what Carolyn was up to while possessed.
Right. You said on the radio you had figured out what happened in those months missing from her memory.
Her plan, well, the demon's plan, had actually gone into effect before the assassination attempt on the cop, in case it failed, which it did.
After they tried to kill Heaney, the police raided that old compound out in the sticks where they had all been holed up. I remember reading in the paper that it was found abandoned. Everyone figured the cultists had scattered into the wind.
They had all left town, yes, but they weren't running from the law. All of Carolyn's new acolytes had been tasked with a mission.
Her new acolytes? The Infernal Ears, you mean?
Yes, she had infiltrated and taken over the biker gang, making them, in essence, her new cult. Just after her possession and the escape from the theater, she was walking along the side of the road and caught a ride with one of the Infernal Ears. He took her back with him, and Carolyn, along with the thing now living inside of her, proceeded to gain leadership of the bikers.
How do you know this?
I met the biker that picked her up that day, and he told me all about it.
Where?
I'm getting to that. Last time we were together, I told you I was headed out west, remember, to investigate sightings of a creature that sounded like the one our friend Rex here talked about in that recording?
Yeah, the recording that aired on Circle City Supernatural a few years ago. You still think the host of that show is Rex's brother? I heard you grilling him about all of this on the air before you delivered your message to me.
He can't talk openly on the air about any of this. I'll have to try him in person one of these days. Anyway, back to the recording. It was made in the 60s in a ghost town up in the Rockies by Rex when he was still a reporter.
I remember you telling me that now, yes.
Good. Now, per a woman Rex met that night, a group of bikers were hiding out in the ghost town when they turned on each other. That is, with a little urging from the spirit realm, and no one got out alive. This woman was also the one who gave Rex the book, which he would eventually pass on to me.
And did you ever figure out why he chose you?
No, still no idea. Anyway, having made the men kill each other, the demons took possession of their corpses and used them to dig up one of apparently many ancient creatures buried in the earth. These things were preserved in the rock for millennia, save for some unknowable purpose in the modern era.
So the description Rex gave in his recording of the monster matched those of witnesses out west, and that's why you went to investigate. And you're refreshing me on this old story because the creature you found out there was actually one of these ancient monsters, yes?
Correct. I found a witness who directed me to the cave system that had been revealed by an earthquake out in the desert. It's where she had witnessed the gargola. That's her word. It's Spanish.
Is that gargoyle?
Yes, that's how she described it. Now, on my way through the desert, I came across excavation equipment, but didn't realize the significance until later. I found an entrance to the cave and went down to investigate. Then, to further complicate the situation, I crossed paths with a group of paranormal investigators who had also heard the reports and who were also there to investigate. I think they called themselves the True Believers or something stupid like that.
Sounds like they got in your way.
I let them tag along, and together we happened upon a group of the bikers, all of them dead, killed by the creature they had been sent to free from the rock. What they couldn't have known beforehand was that this particular gargola had already been set loose months earlier by accident when an earthquake shook the whole region.
The one that opened the cave. Did you keep exploring?
We did, and deeper in, my tagalongs and I found one of the bikers still alive, barely. It was this very guy who had picked up Carolyn on the side of the road that day, taken her back to the Infernaleers clubhouse, and, well, the rest is history. He also told me that Carolyn, after assuming the role of president, organized the gang into teams, and that each team had its own map, showing them where to go and where to dig. Do you see it now, Ryan?
The demon and Carolyn knew where these ancient monsters were buried and sent the men to free them.
Back in the 60s, demonkind tried to unearth just one of these creatures using the same biker gang. It's not a coincidence. I think Carolyn's demon was one of those that was in the town of nowhere so long ago, and I think when the biker picked her up, when the evil spirit saw what gang he belonged to, it knew another opportunity was at hand. It decided to try again, this time with living and willing participants, a cult that would obey its mistress unquestioningly. But they may not have if they knew what it was going to cost them.
What do you mean?
The biker I met in the cave told me what he had realized. That all the teams Carolyn had sent out would not be coming back. The gargolas were, for obvious reasons, designed to feed on humankind and require sustenance upon waking.
So once the biker cult had dug them free, the monsters would have just slaughtered and devoured them?
Yes. And I believe that is what happened to all of the other teams that were sent out. This means that all of our human foes are gone, but that they have given way to inhuman foes far more terrible. Here, just look at this.
Is that a claw? It's huge.
The monster that had gotten free in the earthquake came back while we were in the cave. The Woolievers and I fought and killed it. Well, I did anyway.
What happened to the biker you found alive?
We carried him out and drove him back to civilization. Not sure what became of him after that. The Woolievers were actually local to Circle City, so I caught a ride home with them.
You didn't have your own car?
Had a rental, but I used it to kill the gargola. The things are tough.
If demons somehow made these monsters in ancient history and preserved them underground, why do they want them in the world now? What have they been saving them for?
No one can say for sure. Maybe since demonkind are restricted to the spirit realm, they made these creatures to give themselves physical agency in our domain, to do their bidding in our world. Possessing the dead doesn't get them very far, and the living can only be inhabited with permission. So it makes sense that they would have sought another way into our dimension. But who knows? This was a plan made and executed eons ago. The fact that their gargolas are being brought up now is frankly terrifying. Not because it means more monsters in the world, but because it could be a sign of the end.
End of what?
Everything. This could be the apocalypse.
But Rex was able to stop them back in the 60s, right?
He assisted in their being stopped, yes.
So the apocalypse is, at least, able to be paused.
I like your optimism, Ryan. That's why I sought you out again. Knew I could count on you.
So, what's the plan?
Yeah, about that. Not entirely sure, to be honest. Hard to know which way to go. Need intel?
I may be able to provide that.
Really? How?
The lantern. What brought me into this whole mess? What brought you and I together? What brought us to Carolyn and now to this very moment? The lantern may be how we put an end to it all. Remember how it couldn't let us hear into the spirit realm, only see?
Yes, of course.
Do you remember the missing knob on the control board?
I do.
Well, before she left my house, when Carolyn was trying and failing to recall those missing months, I had an idea about how I could help her. I figured out that the device did have an audio function at one time, but its inventor disabled it. I hoped that if I could repair it, if we could listen in on the spirit realm, then maybe Carolyn and I could overhear something helpful, something that would answer some of her questions.
And you still want to try, even though she's gone?
I don't want to, no, but what other option do we have? This is how you and I used it last time, to stop the cult.
This is different. You want to invoke them. That's beyond dangerous.
I don't see any other way.
So, you were able to fix it?
With some help. I've recently finished repairs. That's about all I've been doing in that motel room for months now.
So your idea is to eavesdrop on demonkind and hope they say something we can use against them. That's incredibly unlikely and will most definitely backfire.
I have to try. We have to try. We're flying blind here.
Where would you propose that we...
The compound. It's where the original Boonies cult lived back in the day and where Carolyn took the bikers to plan their mission. It's got to be some kind of spiritual hotspot.
Do you know where it is?
The location was never made public, probably to keep it from becoming an occult tourist attraction.
So how are we going to find it?
You're not gonna like this, but we need to involve the police. At least Heaney and his partner. They're close to this. I think they would at least hear us out.
Or arrest you on the spot and me with you. You've been harboring a fugitive, Ryan. You've publicly admitted to it. And me, well, let's just say my prince will show up on more than just the ghoul's lair.
Everything about this will be a gamble.
Okay, let's do it.
There's something else.
What else can there be? We've been standing here gabbing for like an hour.
When I said that I gotta help restoring the lantern, I didn't say that it was from the actual inventor of the device.
The what? Didn't you say it was the work of a Nazi scientist? How old is this dude?
Pretty old. Try not to be alarmed when you meet him.
Where is he?
In the back of my truck.
Okay.
Come on, I'm parked right over here. Meet Dr. Hardesty.
What in the what is that?
Young Ryan, it is undignified for me to ride in the rear of your automobile. I wish to be placed in the front seat, thank you. I am a passenger, not luggage. And I want a seatbelt.
There's a voice coming out of that machine.
Hang on, let me get this cap off.
And there's a brain inside.
Not just any brain, Fraulein, but the greatest scientific minds of all.
Enough, Hardesty. No one cares.
Where did... How did...
The good doctor, along with one of his henchmen, broke into my place last spring looking for the lantern. But I turned the tables on them.
And you just decided to keep this thing?
We struck a deal. He would tell me how to fix the lantern, and I would help him find another one of his devices. The music box, he calls it. Crazy dangerous, apparently. So it only makes sense that he would have lost it.
It was stolen, young Ryan. How many times must I repeat myself? In this very cemetery, more than 60 years ago, it was taken from me.
Whoa, hang on there. It happened here? You didn't mention that before.
I came here several times when I was still in my human form. It was a good place to test my creations. Both the music box and the lantern had their initial experiments here, among the dead. This is why I chose to have my body buried here, until it was removed and ravaged by what young Ryan here tells me was some manner of creature?
It was a man at one time. His name was Elliot Abshire. He was actually a member of the original Boonies cult, and the owner of the compound we're looking for.
Really? When did you find this out?
Recently. He was the last known owner of an ancient spellbook the cult used in their rituals. After the Boonies disbanded back in the 80s, Abshire vanished along with the book. I think he continued to experiment with it and ended up cursing himself, becoming a dead eater.
Where did you hear this?
Read about it. There's some local guy who has been publishing weird stories about our town. I've only read the one. I should check out the others. With everything that you and I have been part of, Ryan, we're probably in some of them.
Wait, there's some guy writing about us?
He doesn't write the stories, he just collects them.
And this dead eater? You are the young lady who slew it, are you not?
Yeah, that's me, Violet.
Violet, Violet. I met a Violet here once, long ago. Young Ryan, please describe your companion to me.
He can't see me?
No, only here. She's tall, hard to see, with light blue eyes. Pretty.
Aren't you sweet?
Tell me, Fraulein, do you resemble your grandmother?
My mother's mom, yes. What of it?
Interesting.
What, Hardesty?
Nothing. Never mind.
That's what you said earlier. What are you hiding?
Ryan?
On our way here, when I told him I was meeting you at the grave of Rex Benton, he started to say something, but then clamped up. He's holding back. What is it, Hardesty?
Irrelevant is what it is, young Ryan. While I was testing the lantern here so long ago, I met a woman in this cemetery named Violet, and then, also, a man named Rex.
Rex Benton? He knew my grandmother?
Indeed.
That's it. That's the connection. That's how Rex chose me to be the next book bearer. Doctor, how did they know each other? Grandma Violet never mentioned a Rex Benton.
I could not say, Fraulein. My interaction with them both was brief and a bit volatile, I think you would say. I left them in a hurry and never saw either of them again.
Come on, Violet. We need to get going.
Yeah, okay.
Young Ryan.
Yes, yes, you can ride in the cab. There's not much room in the console with the lantern already there, but we'll cram you in.
Generous to a fault.
Shut up, Hardesty. Oh, Violet, where'd you park?
At the diner. I walked here from there.
Why?
In case it wasn't you waiting for me. Didn't want to make my presence known until I saw you.
Paranoid, but smart. If Heaney and his partner follow their usual routine, they should still be at Joe's.
Really?
Yeah, they're the reason I haven't been able to stop by in months. They get lunch there every day and hang out as long as possible.
Why? Do they think you'll show up there?
No, after the shooting, business went south. Something like that scares people off. Joe's almost had to close. Heaney figured that if people saw him and his partner eating in the place where both were nearly killed, it would encourage everybody else to start coming back. Seems to have worked, too.
That was kind of them.
Yeah, they seem like stand-up guys. One of the reasons I'm willing to approach them with what we need. But it could still go sideways. So if it looks like they're gonna bust me, I'm gonna need you to zap them.
Zap them?
Under your seat.
What is this?
Another one of Hardesty's. I know it looks like a prop from a B-movie, but it's very helpful.
What's it do? Looks lethal.
Just the opposite. It incapacitates a person for a couple hours, nothing more.
Set phasers to stun, got it.
Okay, there's their car.
Let's get to it.
No, no, wait until they come out. This is not a conversation to have with anyone in earshot. Besides, the zapper isn't exactly something you can hide in your coat.
So I just pull it over my arm like this?
Now there's four settings. Off, on, standby, and fire. Off is what it is now. When it's on, lights here, here, and here will glow red. Standby is when the barrel thing up top starts flashing. And fire is when it starts shooting out electric strobes. Got it?
How do I turn it on?
There's a switch under the...
Here?
Yeah.
And the trigger?
That's the tricky part. There isn't one. What you're gripping, that handle, think of it like a throttle on a motorcycle. Twisting it back puts the zapper into standby mode, and further back makes it fire. Figured all that out by accident first time I used it. Which, why did you make it like that, Hardesty?
It was a specific design for my helper and companion. For someone who was to protect me in my new vulnerable state.
Makes sense. You knew you would always need someone to carry you around.
How did you do this, Doctor?
That is a larger question than you can possibly imagine, Fraulein. This particular device is not wholly my creation. It was the result of work begun by another great scientist. Maybe the greatest.
I thought you were the greatest, Hardesty. At least that's what you're always telling everybody.
Yes, well, perhaps I am a very, very close second. But I did accomplish what he could not. You see, my protege, He was able to revive a dead brain, but its memories, its personality, they would never return.
So how did you crack it?
He dreamt it up in an asylum, didn't you, Hardesty? They put him away for a while after he built the lantern.
Interacting with the spirit realm can have a destabilizing effect on the human mind, as young Ryan here well knows. But he speaks true. It was there that I had my epiphany. While being escorted back to my room one night, my orderly took us past a storeroom where the brains of erstwhile patients were preserved for later study. I caught only a glimpse of them, but something in that image of brains sparked something, an idea in my own.
And that made you realize the solution?
My predecessor was unsuccessful because he sought to revive the brains of the dead. But I realized that once death has supervened, there can be no return of the psyche that once inhabited that organ. However, if a living brain is removed from its body and placed into a new vessel without that flow of life being interrupted, the mind will remain intact.
If you can call what you are life.
Did you experiment with anyone else, or were you the first?
I was the first, Fraulein, and also the last. I was a very old man by this time, and was not long for the grave. A dying man with work yet to do is the most determined force in the cosmos.
You made this machine, yes, but who put your brain inside of it?
I contacted former colleagues of mine living in South America, and proposed to them what I intended.
Other Nazis, you mean? Hiding out, avoiding charges for war crimes?
These persons hailed from the Fatherland, yeah. But as to their positions or loyalties during the war, I will make no comment.
Are you a Nazi, Doctor?
Of course he is.
Doctor, are you?
I like your companion, young Ryan. She asks without assumption. You could learn something from her, I think. No, Fraulein, to answer you, I am not. What I am is a scientist who happened to be born in the wrong place and time.
That's a cop-out.
I do not claim to have been a good man, young Ryan.
So you found other doctors to perform the transplant in secret?
Yeah. I awoke in darkness, in a numb abyss. It was an all-new form of existence, one that I have yet to fully adjust to, and I fear never will.
That's because what you made is an abomination, Hardesty.
Be that as it may, young Ryan, here these three sit.
Then what happened?
My body and I were returned to the States. My helper assisted me in faking my death and had my body laid to rest as if I had actually died. Then I was finally free.
What happened to your helper?
I would rather not speak on that matter just now.
Fair enough. You said you were free. Of what?
Not what, Fraulein. Whom? My masters, the true powers of this world.
What?
Old Hardesty here was part of Operation Paperclip after World War II.
Captured Nazi scientists brought stateside and put to work for our government. Yeah, I've heard all about that.
I do not mean the American Republic when I speak of my employers. Not merely, but a power even greater. Imagine, if you can, a secret society, an oligarchy that holds the reins of our planet. If you can fathom such a concept, then you know of that which I speak.
And what did you do for your employers?
Oh, I fashioned such marvels for them. So many wondrous things. But alas, I grew weary of being under their thumb, I believe is the expression, and longed to escape, to build for myself. And indeed, I had begun such quiet work. The music box and the lantern were my first personal projects, created entirely in secret. This brain box and this zapper, as young Ryan calls them, they followed shortly after.
Why didn't you just quit working for them?
You think that I was just like young Ryan here, that I could just stop showing up for work one day? No, Fraulein. One does not just quit an organization such as theirs. And even after they are done with you, their eye never strays.
So you had to fake your death to get away from them?
Indeed. and only with a body to present were they convinced of my demise. Without my corpse as proof, they would have known better and hunted me down.
And what did you do after you finally escaped them?
Very little, I'm afraid. My helper abandoned her position and packed me away. I was lost for years until being accidentally rediscovered by Montgomery. I persuaded him to become my new helper. He and I began our search for the music box when news came that the lantern had been unearthed with my body. And so I turned my attention to first recovering that device. My creations. They were like scattered sheep. I must return them now to the fold.
And that's how you met Ryan?
Yeah, that's how we met. When his lackey shot me with the zapper and duct taped me to a chair, then threatened to torture me with a box cutter if I didn't tell him where I'd hidden the lantern.
Young Ryan proved resourceful, however, and outdid my helper. Then he and I struck our bargain and helped me seek out the music box, and in exchange, I instructed him in repairs to the lantern, something I did very much against my will. It is very dangerous what he intends. Has he spoken to you of this?
He has, and I agree that it sounds risky, but I think he's right. We don't have any other choice. Oh, Ryan, they're coming out of the diner.
Okay, let's go. Keep the zapper behind your back, and if you have to use it, aim for the eyes.
Keith, it's just a burger. We're all the same.
And see, that is where you're wrong, Alex. I found the sheer volume of pickles to just completely overwhelm the flavor of the burger, and it threw off the entire flavor balance. However, that being said, the burger itself was still very...
Keith, look.
Hell's bells. Is that Tolliver coming at us?
Sure is.
Ryan Tolliver, stop right there.
I'm stopping.
What the heck, Tolliver? We've been after you for months. Then you just spring on us in the parking lot?
I see your hand on your gun, detective, but you're not drawing, which tells me something important.
What's that?
You're willing to listen.
Where's Carolyn Pelfrey? We know you're protecting her.
I honestly don't know where she is. She bailed late last spring. Been waiting for her to surface, just like you guys have.
Yeah, and where have you been? And who's this girl? Young lady, please take your hand out from behind your back.
She's with me. Detectives, please. I want to talk.
About what, exactly?
All of it. Carolyn, the Boonies, the Infernaliers, the grave robberies, it's all connected, and I can tell you how.
Fine. Let's take a ride downtown.
No, it's got to be here and now. I'll tell you a bit. The rest you get once you've done something for me.
We can't cut deals, Tolliver. You have to talk to a prosecutor for that.
This is off the books. Hear what I have to say and you can take it or leave it.
Or, how's this? We just arrest you and your new girlfriend right now, and you tell us anyway. I like that plan. Alex, you like that plan?
You can try. Violet?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Get your hands where I can see them, young lady, or so help me.
Hang on, Keith. You have 30 seconds, Tolliver.
I had an old photograph that I kept in a Gideon's Bible, but it wasn't there when I left my house. Did you find it?
Yeah, we found it on the guy you left unconscious in your garage in a pool of his own urine, which, by the way, what is up with that?
He tried to take something from me, but I got around him.
So the anonymous call about the break-in...
Yes, that was me. What happened to Monty?
Well, we booked him for trespassing and nothing else. Without you there to press charges, I pretty much had to turn him loose after a couple days. No one's heard from him since. Guy really only had a couple of priors. Petty vandalism, marijuana possession, nothing major. Montgomery Redding, he's a nobody.
Did he tell you anything? About me or what he was after?
Nothing. Not a word. What was he looking for and what does it have to do with the creepy photograph?
That picture was taken a long time ago, just down the street here at the cemetery, actually, when a scientist was experimenting with an invention of his.
Wow. Yeah. No, you're under arrest for being the worst liar in criminal history.
Keith, wait. Go on, Tolliver.
The picture is of a spirit.
A ghost? Yeah, I saw it.
Not a ghost, Detective. A spirit of another kind.
Hey, look at that. She speaks.
Your time has been up for a while, Tolliver.
This device was active when the photo was taken. It's how the picture exists. This machine illuminates the spirit realm, and now it makes the place audible as well. I can prove it. I just need a chance.
Alex, why are we listening to this? Let's just take them in, both, now.
Okay. Let's say the machine does exist and it does what you say. What does it matter?
It will prove that Carolyn Pelfrey was possessed when she committed her crimes and that she cannot be held responsible for them.
You honestly think that's going to hold up in a court of law? That they'll just let her off an attempted murder charge with a possession plea? Come on, Tolliver.
I'm only interested in proving it to you, detectives.
No. There's something more. What is it?
There was a place, where Thaddeus Boone and his cult lived back in the 80s. It was sealed up and abandoned after that. Carolyn and her new cult were squatting there last year. You guys raided the place after the diner shooting. I read about it in the paper.
Then you would know that we didn't find anything.
It's the place itself that we need. The location was not made public, but you know where it is. We need access to it. That's the best place to use the lantern.
The lantern?
The device I'm talking about.
The compound is a spiritual ground zero, of sorts. If the lantern is going to reveal anything for us, it will be there.
And just what is it you're hoping to learn?
While possessed, Carolyn set into motion something very, very bad. We know what it is, but not why or how to stop it. We're hoping to glean something from the other side. Detective Heaney, I don't know how much you've learned already about this whole mess, but I believe you realize that at least some of what I'm saying is true. This stuff is real. And if you just arrest me now, we may never get another chance to stop whatever is coming. And believe me when I say that it could mean life or death for who knows how many people.
Alex, we are not seriously going to.
I want to know, Keith. I told you that what I saw and heard in the old theater was a game changer for me.
Alex!
An hour. We'll take them in for an hour and see if any of this pans out. If not, Tolliver, you're coming with us. Got it?
Agreed. So long as we can go immediately.
We'll have to. It's quite a drive. You gonna follow us?
Yeah, we're right behind you.
Fine.
Alex, seriously. You're not just gambling with your own career anymore. You're rolling the dice with mine now, too, okay?
You don't have to come.
Shut up. Yes, I do.
We doing this, gentlemen?
Yeah, let's go.
Here, take this.
You should hang on to the zapper.
Not really my style. Have something in my trunk I'm going to go grab before we leave.
Still have a trunk full of swords, huh, Violet?
How disappointed would you have been if I didn't?
Do you really think you'll need it? What we're after, they're not your typical monsters.
Yeah, I know, but...
Just in case. I understand. Come on, let's roll.
He said it was a long drive. Last time you and I took a long drive together, you got the nap. That makes it my turn.
Fair enough. I'll wake you when we get there. Violet.
We there?
I think we're getting close. We pulled off the highway a few miles back.
It's pitch black out there.
Welcome to the middle of nowhere.
Hey, they're slowing down. Are those gates up ahead?
This must be it.
Young Ryan, I would like
You're staying in the car, Hardesty. I can't be lugging you around.
It is very boring to always have to wait in the automobile. At least take the transceiver so that we may stay in communication.
It's in my pocket. I'll check in once in a while.
Danke.
Whoa. What is this? Put the sword down, young lady. And Tolliver, look, I don't know what kind of laser cannon you think you're bringing to the party, but nah, no.
It's fine, Keith. Tolliver, that thing on your arm, that's the device?
No, this is something else. This one is the lantern.
The suitcase?
That's more than it appears, Detective.
It had better be.
Yeah, because we didn't just spend 3 hours of our lives behind the wheel of a car for a wild goose chase. Thank you so much.
It won't be. I've seen this thing work. It's legit.
I'm sorry, who are you again?
Not important.
Keith, you got your flashlight?
Sure do. You?
Yeah, let's get moving.
So, this is the old Boonies compound. Not what I imagined.
Well, yeah, it's in ruins now, but apparently it was really something to see back in the day. It was the estate of one of the members, from what I hear. The manor had been in his family since there were manors, I guess. He gave it over to the cult when he joined, and, well, they made it their headquarters.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Have you heard about what went on here? The bloodletting, devil worship, and those are the rumors anyway. It all came to a head when Thad Boone finally bit it.
How did Boone die?
He was killed. By a deprogrammer.
What's that? A computer thing?
It's a long story is what it is. Besides, I'm more interested in what Carolyn did out here. Oh, which reminds me. If you ever do see her again, be sure to tell her a big thank you from all of us down at the precinct for reviving all this crap. This town really missed having a blood cult on the loose.
She was misled, got into something she didn't fully understand. It was a mistake. She knows that now and is trying to right it.
Really? Because I don't see her anywhere writing anything. She's probably on a beach somewhere, sipping Mai Tais with the pool boy.
Why would a beach need a pool boy? Hey, so what happened to my house?
What, you mean your rental? Well, after you vanished, the landlord cleaned it out. I think he sold most of your stuff to pay the back bills. Probably threw away the rest. Apparently wasn't completely heartless, though. You saved some of it, in case you ever came back. A cat clock and, that smutty painting you had up over the TV.
Add that to a POS truck. That's about all I have left of my name.
You've given up just about everything to help this girl, Tolliver. Your home, your job. You even risked some substantial jail time. Hope she's worth it, man.
That's what I was supposed to do. A while back, I was helped when I really needed it. I promised to do the same for someone else. That person ended up being Carolyn.
You're very convincing. I can see why Alex believes you.
There's the main house, but there are a lot of outbuildings and barns. Some stables somewhere, too. Where do you want to try, Tolliver?
I guess the main house.
All right, let's head in.
Wait! Oh, okay. Got it. All right, I'm good now.
What was that?
My lucky bullet.
Right. So is the place locked up?
Hardly. The doors are barely still on their hinges. We raided the place pretty hard after the cult tried to kill Alex last winter.
Keith, you seeing this?
What?
Signs of habitation.
Squatter?
Maybe.
Great, now we've got a hobo in here with us.
Hopefully I don't look that bad.
Carolyn!
Pelfrey!
Unfreaking believable.
Oh, what are you doing here?
Best place for a fugitive to hide. At the crime scene. It's the last place anyone would look.
Well, that's weirdly brilliant.
Ryan, I asked you not to come after me.
I'm not here for... How did you...
I'm sorry that I left the way I did, but these cops were too close. I thought I was protecting you. After I left your house, I didn't know where to go. I slept on the street that first night, but I had a dream about this place, and a memory came back with it. I instantly knew how to get back here. It took me days of walking.
And you've been here ever since? What have you done for food?
This place was pretty well stocked, but there's no electricity, and it's getting colder and harder to stay warm at night.
Unfreaking believable.
You. I remember you. You were with Ryan that night in the woods. Seems so long ago.
Not long enough.
Miss Pelfrey.
Detective Haney, I'm glad you're here. I want to apologize for what I did when I wasn't myself.
You don't have to do this, Miss Pelfrey. I think I understand.
Just the same, if you could.
I forgive you.
Thank you, Detective. And if I could ask one more thing. Lucas, is he well?
He's serving his time.
It's my fault he's there.
We've been keeping tabs on him. He actually met another friend of yours on the inside, Arvin Reyes. Apparently the chaplain started a prison church thing and Lucas has been attending. He's doing all right.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So are you here to arrest me?
We didn't come here for you, Carolyn. We came here for this.
The lantern. It's been repaired? You finally fixed it?
With some help.
So now it will.
Yeah, and we're gonna try it.
We had talked about this, Ryan. But why now?
Because of the mess you made?
Violet.
I found out what you did, but now we have to figure out why, and if there is a way to stop it.
You know what I... What did I do? Ryan, does she actually know? What did I do while I was...
You sent the cult out to certain locations around the country, maybe the world, where things were buried. You, the demon, ordered them to dig these things up.
Ryan, what does that mean?
Hey, what's all this about, Tolliver? Digging up what?
Monsters, Detective.
Monsters? Really? Okay, that's it, kids. Show's over. Carolyn Pelfrey, you are now officially under arrest. The rest of you, pack it up. Let's go. Come on, Alex. They led us to Carolyn. Now it's time to just shut this circus down.
Wait, what are you guys talking about? I thought we were here for spirits.
We are. Ryan, let's get to it.
Right. Here we go.
What are we looking for?
I don't see anything. Is this machine supposed to make us, see something? What am I looking at here?
Give it time.
Ryan, I don't think this is a good idea.
How does this thing work, Tolliver?
It radiates a field around itself, a bubble of particles that weaken the veil between the spirit realm and ours. It makes a thin place, as Hardesty, the inventor, calls it. We will be able to see them, and now we should be able to hear them as well.
This is such bullsh... Hey, what's that?
Where?
Over there. There's somebody moving around. Police! Come forward very slowly with your hands on your head.
What is that? Tolliver, what is that?
It's not alone. Two more.
They look like that figure. The hooded figure in that photo.
You couldn't tell in the old picture, but they're actually red.
That's why the cult wear red cloaks, Detective, to emulate these spirits.
They can't touch us, right?
No, not even the lantern can let them manifest in our world physically. We think that's why the Gargolas were made, to give demonkind representatives on our plane of existence.
Wait, Gargolas?
That's what was buried in the earth, what the cult went out to find and let loose. You know, scary monsters.
Scary monster. Got it.
Do you guys have a special name for these shadow things, too?
No, Detective. Those are simply demons.
You knew. You knew that they would just be here, floating around this room.
They must be attached to the place, as so much evil has happened here.
You are here.
What does this mean?
We do not wait. We follow.
What are they talking about?
I don't know.
Ryan?
Violet?
No idea. Ryan, I think we made a mistake.
Ryan, turn it off.
Three of us.
Which three? What are you talking about?
We invoked.
Invoked what?
What children?
Oh no. They mean the Gargolas. They've called them here.
How could they find us?
My book. It's covered in the blood of the one I killed.
Tolliver, turn off the device.
Do you think they really...
I don't know. Detectives, we should leave. Quickly. Arrest us if you like, but we need to... They're already here.
What's here, Tolliver?
The creatures we've been talking about. Detectives, if you have sidearms, I suggest you ready them.
Ryan.
Stay close.
I need a weapon.
Here, take this. It's all I have.
What is this?
One of their own claws. If any of them get close enough to you, you just give it right back to them.
Okay.
Detectives, as soon as they get through, you start unloading. Ryan, if any get past the suppressive fire, you hit them with the zapper, stunning them long enough for me to cut them down with my sword. Caroline, you back me up if I need it. Everybody got it? Okay then, time for some R-rated violence.
Ryan!
Ryan!
them? Why would they... Where are they taking them?
Let's find out.
Stop! What are you doing with the lantern?
They planned this. The spirits said they've been following us. They've been watching and waiting for us all to come together. We gave them exactly what they wanted. They took Haney and Ryan, and the gargoyles tried to grab me. Three, remember? They could have just killed us all, but they have something else planned. Something worse. Ugh, how do you turn this thing on? We're going to make the demons tell us where those creatures took our friends.
They won't tell us. You know they won't. They're liars. We'll have to find out another way.
There is no other way.
Leave that there. That's evidence.
Are you serious with this crap right now?
Everyone just stay right where they are. I
have to call this in.
Young Ryan, what is happening? I believe I heard a report of gunfire.
What's that?
It's a transceiver. It must have fallen from Ryan's pocket when he was grabbed. Here. Now listen to me very carefully, Detective. Think long and hard before you call in any of this. You and Haney weren't even supposed to be here, especially not with the fugitive over there. Now she and I are going to leave this place, and you're going to let us go. You can have all of this stuff, the lantern, the zapper, the German calling from Ryan's truck. I don't care, but Caroline and I are going to walk away.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Okay, you're not. I need the two of you. I need you both. The stuff you're talking about, it's not gonna be enough, okay? No one is gonna believe me. I need you, because no one is gonna believe me. Those things took their own dead with them, okay? I got nothing. They're monsters. Oh my God, what even were those things?
Detective, you don't yet know it, but you've crossed over into a different world that doesn't operate by the same rules that yours does. I've been walking in it for a while now, and it doesn't get any easier.
I will stay, Detective. I will tell them what happened here. I will make them believe me.
Carolyn, I'm trying to help you out here.
No. No, Miss Pelfrey, I think she's right. I am finally starting to realize what Alex did. You should go.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Get going. Wait. Take my car. Just leave it at the diner. I'll come by and pick it up later.
What about you?
I can just hotwire Tolliver's truck. Can't really leave it here anyway. I don't know, I guess I'll just dump it somewhere when I get back to town.
So you're going to clean all this up?
Honestly, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I would suggest burning the whole place down. These walls have seen too much as it is. Carolyn, you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
An update, if you will, young Ryan.
Ryan is gone. Who is this?
My name is Dr. Frederick Hardesty.
Hardesty? Wait, you're dead. Your grave was dug up and your brain was missing from your body.
Yes, quite so. Where is young Ryan?
Like I said, gone.
I see. And who are you?
My name is Keith Sorrels. I'm a detective with the Circle City Police Department.
Ah, a detective, you say? You could be even more useful than the groundskeeper, I think.
What?
Detective, you and I have much to discuss.
This has been The Invoked by J.P. Leck. The voice of Violet was provided by Mindy Wesson. The voice of Ryan was provided by Tucker. The voice of Alex was provided by Samuel Dumas. The voice of Carolyn was provided by Julia Leslie. Keith and Hardesty were voiced by Stephen E. Foxworthy. All rights reserved. For other audio plays, short films, short stories,
comic books, and novels by J.P. Leck, visit EndlessElsewhere.com. Hi, excuse me, miss. Are you going in?
Where?
Well, I mean, into the post office. You're kind of blocking the door.
What do you want?
Just to go inside. I need to empty my P.O. box.
So go, there.
Thanks. So are you gonna come in?
What?
Miss, are you okay?
Yeah, why?
Well, please excuse my saying so, you just seem a little out of it. Are you going to mail that parcel you've got there?
I'm not sure I can. It's very valuable to me.
May I ask what it is?
A book.
Oh, really? I very much love books.
You're not ready for this one.
You might be surprised.
I'm going to send it to some people who need it. I was going to take it to them myself, but I have things to do.
Sounds important.
It is. Have to find a friend of mine, and then hunt down some things that are loose in the world. Things that shouldn't be here.
Okay. You know, I actually meant the book, though. The book sounds important. So why do these people need it?
Because they have one, too, apparently. Guess there's a bunch out there.
Uh-huh. Well, I should probably, Hey, would you want me to mail it for you? Would that be easier?
Would you?
Yes, of course. I'd be happy to help. I'll make sure it gets to, what's it say on there? The Polydors. That wouldn't be Brian and Caitlin Polydor, would it?
You know them?
Only by reputation, I'm afraid. They're reporters. Is that right?
No idea.
Anyway, I'll make sure it gets to them safe and sound. There's no return address.
Don't have one.
What if they want to send it back?
They won't want to let go of this.
Yeah, I can see that it has that effect.
Oh, yeah, here. Sorry. Just hasn't been out of my possession in years. Thanks, mister.
Hey, I'm happy to do it. Hey, you wouldn't by any chance have... Oh, never mind. It's silly. Anyway, have a good afternoon.
Oh, and,
Yes?
I like your hat.
Most people think it's kind of a novelty.
That must be why I like it.